You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from the law offices of Pulse LA in Washington, D.C. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-hosts, Phil Fagan, Harry Spiridis, Mark Joachim, and Kristen Jones from Pulse LA. We have a great lineup of guests for you on our show today, including Afi Ambrose, General Counsel of Acumen Solutions, Sonia Galindo, General Counsel and Secretary of Rosetta Stone, Eric Rayson, Vice President, General Counsel and Corporate Secretary of Morgan Franklin, and Ken Pollack, Senior Vice President, General Counsel and Chief Compliance Officer and Secretary of AGNC Investment Corporation. Let's get to know our first guest, Afi Ambrose, General Counsel of Acumen Solutions. Afi, what is Acumen Solutions? What are you guys doing?
We're a cloud advisory and integration services consultancy.
How large or how small is the organization?
We're approaching 800 people.
And about 800 people. And where are you from originally?
I grew up in Iran for the first 10 years.
You grew up in Iran for the first 10 years. And tell us about what kind of pets you had in Iran.
It was basically a farm, so we had donkeys, chickens, sheep, dogs.
You grew up on a farm in Iran until the age of 10. And why did you move from Iran to the United States?
When the Iranian Revolution hit, we basically had to get out.
Mm-hmm. Tell us what kind of pets you had in Iran.
We had the farm. I was probably closest to my dogs.
Mm-hmm. And you told us a little story in the green room earlier about something that happened to one of the dogs.
One of the dogs was shot one day. Mm-hmm. In those days, we would just let the dogs out to run around, and one of them came back with a severe limp, and he'd been shot in the leg.
Mm-hmm. How'd that make you feel, and did you realize what that was all about, and what was that all about?
Well, I don't know if I ever understood what it was all about, but it impacted me as a kid because it was so tragic to see this helpless animal hurt by a human being.
So you were about 10 years old, and you saw an animal hurt. So that you have an empathetic side to you. I'm wondering, this empathetic side that you have, how's that serve you in your role as General Counsel of Acumen Solutions?
Well, I think one of the reasons I love my job so much is because I have the opportunity to mentor people and to help them grow.
Wait a minute. It says here you're the General Counsel of Acumen Solutions, which is 800 people. You're telling me one of your roles as General Counsel is to mentor people?
Well, that's one of my self-imposed roles. That's what I enjoy the most, is working with people and helping them develop.
What's your greatest joy in your job?
Helping people.
Really? That's what the general counsel is supposed to be? That's part of your job?
That's right. Uh-huh. Right. We manage risk. I mean, I manage risk, help the company grow. But what I enjoy the most is working with individual people and seeing them.
That's not what I read in the newspapers, but you know your job better than anybody else. Kristen, what are you thinking?
Tell me a little bit about your family. Do you have any brothers or sisters?
I have an older sister who's 3 years older.
And what kind of relationship did you have with her, or do you have with her?
Well, we're very close now. When we first moved to the States, we weren't as close. It was a difficult time for her because she was about 12 or 13, probably 13 when we moved here. And so it was a transitional time with puberty and things like that. So it was a difficult transition for her.
Well, you were young yourself, being 3 years younger. How were you able to recognize all that she was going through at that age when you were young yourself, going through a lot?
I don't know if I knew it immediately, but it was one of those things where you sense that it's best to kind of stay quiet and try and offer quiet support rather than to interfere.
Have you always been able to read people so well?
I don't know. I mean, I do enjoy learning about people. I think one of the best ways to get out of your shell and to connect with people is to learn about them.
Mm-hmm. Harry?
And how does that relate to what you do today?
Mm-hmm. I learn about the people that work with me. I have a phenomenal team that I work with, and we're all very close.
Mm-hmm.
And
Harry?
Then, I was... I'm past president of the Association of Corporate Counsel.
Harry, you want to take that?
We work with a lot of people.
Well, with all the social instability, upheaval, political instability that you witnessed as a child, and then coming to the United States and going through more instability here, how did that impact you growing up and into your professional career?
As I think about it, one of the things about instability is this sense of lack of control. And so the way that I've reacted is to control everything that I can. Mm-hmm. That applies in the organization as general counsel. You know, you manage risk. So I try and control what I can in the organization. Mm-hmm. It applies in my personal life with discipline.
Tell us a little bit about your dad.
My dad is Iranian, and he's very principled. He was very strict with us growing up. One of the things that I admire about both my parents is when we moved to the States and lost everything, there was very little impact on them that we saw, meaning they weren't worried about the material things they lost. They really stuck by their values. They worked hard, both of them, mm-hmm. and they rebuilt their lives.
How does he feel about women working? You were talking about that earlier.
He has two daughters and a very strong wife, and so he really respects the power of women, and he did empower us.
Mm-hmm. And he was a doctor in Iran, and talk about him starting over here when he got to the States.
Well, when we got to the States, we knew that we had to start over, and so he reached out to some of his buddies from his residency at Hopkins, and he joined their practice in Norfolk, Virginia.
What did you take away from that that you use now?
A number of things. The first is one of the things that he ingrained in us is the fact that we need to get educated, and that education is something nobody can take away from you. The other is your connections with others and the relationships that you have with others. He had these close friends that he was able to reconnect with and work with for many, many years.
Mark?
Experiencing all of that instability early in life, do you find that now you thrive in unstable environments, you're sort of the calm in the storm, or do you find that unstable environments you sort of run the other way from?
Exactly the opposite of calm in the storm. I try to stay away from stressful, unstable situations. I'm okay with handling mm-hmm. stress as long as I feel like I've managed it and it's within control. And I feel like that also at an organizational level. I feel responsibility for making sure that the company is stable, that my people are stable, and that my family is stable.
So you feel a great deal of responsibility to the organization. I mean, it sounds like you want to make sure that everything's in order all the time, and there's not a lot of conflict, which is not what you typically would think an in-house attorney, the general counsel, would be like.
I think that's the perception of in-house lawyers, but you know, we're generally consensus builders, and we're there to help the organization grow and thrive.
There's a professional organization you belong to. What's the name of that organization?
The Association of Corporate Counsel.
And what's the purpose of that organization? What value do you find in that organization?
The purpose is really to bring in-house lawyers together to help them grow and develop. And the value that I found, I joined the organization when I first moved to the area about almost 18 years ago. And what I found was a family of like-minded people. We're all very diverse, but we all have the same profession. And so it was a way of connecting with people who understood my world. And we are able to bounce ideas off of each other and feel like part of a community.
And I understand you were president of the organization. Where did that come from? What helped create that in you?
It was one of those things where I felt I really enjoyed the organization so much that I felt compelled to participate as a volunteer. And then gradually I started doing more and more with the organization. And before I knew it, I was involved with programming and then was nominated to be president.
Where did those organizational skills come from? How young were you when they were showing up 8 to 14 years old? Where's that coming from?
I think it came from a sense of wanting to belong to part of a community.
What do you mean?
Well, when we first moved here to the States, it was easy to feel like an outsider. And I think it took a long time to make friends and to feel like I was part of something else.
And how's that manifesting nowadays?
So now I do make sure when I see somebody who's new to the area, to the community, to my neighborhood, in any scenario, I feel the need to bring them in.
That's interesting. You know, typically what you hear about an attorney is litigation and rip things apart as opposed to trying to create oneness. It sounds like your nature is to try to create the oneness within the organization, within your business, as well as within this association. Am I correct about that?
That's absolutely right.
Uh-huh. And tell me a little bit about, are you more like your mom or your dad?
I'd say I'm more like my dad in the sense that I have a certain set of principles that I let guide me. I mean, my mom has principles too, but my dad was very firm about them, and he was very disciplined.
And how are you like your mom?
Well, I wish I were more like my mom. Mm-hmm. She is one of those people who rolls with the punches. I always say she would have fun in a box mm-hmm. because she just
and real
is
quick,
a happy person.
What's the similarity between general counsel of Acumen Solutions and being a mom? Similarity.
A lot of it is organizational skills. It requires organizational skills.
What's the website address of Acumen Solutions?
AcumenSolutions.com.
We've been speaking with Afi Ambrose, General Counsel of Acumen Solutions, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website. It's executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, we'll be back in a moment right after this break. Nice interview.
Fun.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce Sonia Galindo, who is General Counsel and Secretary of Rosetta Stone. Sonia, what is Rosetta Stone? What are you guys doing?
It is a language and literacy education tech company.
How large or how small is this organization?
About $200 million in annual revenue, about 1,000 employees in a half a dozen countries.
Huh. Where are you from originally?
I'm from here. I'm a Beltway baby.
Uh-huh. And how many brothers and sisters?
I have one older brother.
Uh-huh. And what did your older brother do to you? What was your relationship like with him?
He was my first and my longest term best friend. He taught me how to be a good person.
Wait a minute. Your brother, your older brother, was your best friend, and he taught you how to be a good person. What are you talking about? How did your brother affect what you're doing nowadays for a living?
He's kind, and he's patient. He's supportive. He is confident building, and
how's that affecting your role at Rosetta Stone?
Well, I think that, you know, as general counsel, you are in charge of managing global risk, but you're also the moral compass of the company.
Wait a minute. You're telling me that your brother, who was your best friend and still is, and you've learned the moral compass from your brother that you're bringing to work every day?
Absolutely.
As general counsel, you're the moral compass. I never heard of that. I thought, you know, attorneys just caused problems, but doesn't sound like that's what your job is. Mark, what was your question there?
Well, it's interesting that your brother was such an influence on you. Your parents, which of your parents are you more like, your mom or your dad?
Yeah, and where are they from anyway?
So my parents immigrated here from Mexico, and I would say I am more like my mother.
Yeah, what do you mean?
She is probably the most amazing woman that I know. She's smart and strong and capable, decisive, empowering, and she instilled all of that in me.
Uh-huh. How about your dad?
He was very family-oriented.
Uh-huh. So how do you bring a mom and dad to work every day?
I think I definitely bring the characteristics of being strong and being decisive, but also knowing the value of the family of the corporation. The values.
The family of the corporation? What are you talking about?
Corporations are absolutely families, and they have values, and they have...
That's that moral compass stuff you were talking about earlier. Philip?
Yeah, you had an interesting conversation when you were a third grader with your mom, a little unusual for third graders.
Yes, I apparently went up to my mom and told her that I did not think I was thriving, and I needed to go to a different school. I wanted to go to boarding school.
Uh-huh. You told your mother you don't think you were thriving and you wanted to go to boarding school. Okay, Harry, you want to take it from there?
So your mom complied and you went to boarding school, correct?
Yes.
And you were in third grade?
Yes.
And what was that like to be a third grader away from home, away from your parents, and in boarding school?
It was a fantastic experience. It was a great education. It was also a great sort of developmental opportunity. Everyone worked and studied, but you were on your own. I mean, and so you learned how to be resourceful and responsible, how to be competent, how to be solution oriented.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of work? You said you work at, what was the work that you did?
So it varied depending on your age, but when I first got there and I was very young, I was a classroom aide.
A classroom aide?
Yeah, so I would clap erasers or organize papers. I would help the teacher.
What'd you do different than the other kids that had that job?
I don't know if I did anything really different. Everyone was very responsible and
so as opposed to trying to stand out and be different, you're all about the community. Mm-hmm. That goes right back to what you were talking about earlier in terms of the corporation being a family. You see it as all one. You're not trying to cause separation. You really want there to be a community around you. That's fascinating. Who's got the next question?
I think that's the best way to achieve success, both individually and as a whole.
Can you influence that as in your role as general counsel and secretary of Rosetta Stone?
I try to, absolutely.
What do you mean?
Well, you want to make sure that you're setting everybody up for success and that everybody is sort of rowing in the same direction for the corporation and the shareholders' success. It takes a lot of communicating and collaborating and being flexible, being motivated.
So you're telling me that your role as in-house general counsel and secretary of Rosetta Stone is to help build the team, help build the community?
Yes, absolutely.
Huh, that's not what I read in the newspapers. Harry, what else are you thinking there?
Well, so you went to boarding school in third grade, but a lot of kids go to boarding school that don't want to go to boarding school. You went to boarding school because you wanted to go to boarding school.
Yes.
How did you reconcile that with the other kids in your class that didn't want to be there? Did you see that?
Yeah, and weren't you afraid?
Fear never came into it. I have never shied from adventure or challenge.
How's that affecting your business career? How's that show up in business?
I think it helps me be a good strategic partner. I actually really, the part of my job I like the most is that I'm not just sort of the legal eagle, but I'm a true business partner for the executive team and a strategic thinker.
So as opposed to being afraid of taking a risk, you sort of look forward to it like you did boarding school, telling your mom that you thought you weren't being optimized.
I think it's about taking the smart risk.
What do you mean?
Well, you can't take every risk and you can't take no risk. So it's about finding the right risk, the smart risk, and then going forward with that.
I'm not arguing with you. You're the general counsel of a 1,000-person, $200 million firm. You must know what you're talking about. Who's got the next question?
Yeah, you were talking about how you didn't think you were thriving until you went to boarding school. When you got to Rosetta Stone, you told me a story about taking on a new language to thrive better. Can you?
Yes. So, you know, all of our employees are fluent in English, and my team was global, and when I would have one-on-one sessions with various members of my teams, it was always in English, and it sort of struck me as rude a little bit. And so I thought, and it is a language and literacy company, and so I wanted to learn a language, and so I started with French so that I could talk with the members of my team in France.
Wait. So you're really one to wear the spirit of the team, and because you're in a language-related business, you decided to take on another language. Uh-huh. How interesting. Kenneth, are you thinking of a question there? Oh, okay. Kristen, what do you got?
Sonia, you talked earlier about being resourceful when you were in boarding school. How does that resourcefulness from when you're younger help you in your job today?
Yeah.
I think it's about, you know, when I was young, you're responsible for figuring it out, right? Getting yourself up, getting yourself to school, getting yourself to work, managing your budget, managing your tasks. And that is what I do today, except not only for myself, but for my team and for the organization, right?
You're telling
me
what
are our goals and how are we best going to execute on them?
So you're telling me that this characteristic that showed up when you moved to boarding school is really who you are. It's taking responsibility. It's being resourceful. It's making sure that things get done on time by the right kinds of folks. It's what you imposed on yourself.
Yes. I'm a big advocate of owning. You have to own your career, own your relationships, own your health. And so I think that piece of ownership of that, of either the team doing well, the company doing well, all of it, I really enjoy.
So it's everything together. It's not winning. It's not win at the sake of everybody else. It's win with everybody else.
Absolutely.
So you're really a team player.
Yeah.
Yeah, and part of it is to form the team. What's the website address of Rosetta Stone?
RosettaStone.com.
Let me add that one more time.
rosettastone.com.
We've been speaking with Sonia Galindo, General Counsel and Secretary of Rosetta Stone, here on Executive Leaders Radio. And we'll be back in a moment right after this break.
Yeah.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce Eric Rayson, who's the Vice President, General Counsel, and Corporate Secretary of an organization known as Morgan Franklin. Eric, what is Morgan Franklin?
Morgan Franklin is a strategy and execution management consulting firm headquartered here in the D.C. area, which helps C-suite deal with transformational issues. The average person is a CPA or an MBA who works for Morgan Franklin with some experience from the Big Four before coming to us.
How large or how small is this organization?
We have about 300 full-time individuals based in Atlanta, San Francisco, New York, and D.C.
Uh-huh. How'd you get there?
I got there because I followed a mentor. When I first got there, the prior CEO of Sallie Mae, where I spent 14 years, decided that his next evolution was to help grow Morgan Franklin, and I joined him as the first general counsel of Morgan Franklin.
So there's this whole thing about loyalty and mentors you got going on. How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have a younger brother, 6.5 years younger than me.
6.5 years younger. And what was going on with you when you were a kid, about 10 years old?
Well, when I was about 10 years old, my mother had spine surgery and was in the hospital for about 6 weeks and then had a six-month recovery. And my brother at the time was probably about, 3.5, 4 years old. And it was a time in which my father worked long hours at his law firm, and you had to step up to the plate and help out.
Did somebody tell you that you had to step up to the plate, or was that like a decision you made internally?
I don't think anyone had asked me to teach my brother how to throw a football or help him with his lunch or his homework or whatever it might be if he had homework back then when he was younger.
Well, you just assumed that responsibility. I mean, not every brother would do that. And tell us about grandparents. Who influenced you there?
Well, I think my grandparents had a great influence on me. My father's father, my grandfather, came from Ukraine, leaving the pogroms when he was 11 years old, taught himself how to speak English, and became a lawyer while he was 23 years old. My other grandfather volunteered for the Army when he was 31 years old and stormed the beaches of Normandy and then was an entrepreneur. But the rest of my family, my father's side of the family, are all lawyers.
So you have a great deal. It sounds like you come from a great deal of respect in terms of family members, including those that are older and younger, which sort of makes sense, which is the reason you would have followed the CEO, because you're one for long-term relationships, aren't you?
I agree. I think it's important in business to find mentors who will help you with your career, but also help you become a better person.
Philip?
Yeah, you talked earlier, you didn't need to work when you were at a young age, but you chose to work. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, yes, actually, it happened about the same time as my mother was in the hospital. I started a driveway shoveling business in Chicago and it became a snow blowing business, and it was helping out neighbors and older neighbors and younger neighbors, and in Chicago back then there was a lot of snow, so it was I think it was the blizzard of 79 during that year, so that's it was good for business.
How do you instill that work ethic into the employees of your company now?
Well, I think you need to have individualized counseling with the people you work with. You need to figure out what makes them tick. What do they value, and then help accentuate that value. And some people may not even realize, what they can be with themselves, what they can be when they in a few years with a little bit of hard work.
You're all about service, aren't you? It's not about the money. You didn't start that snow shoveling business. You're not doing what you're doing for pure money, are you?
Well, I think I obviously want to pay for my daughters to go to college, so there is a component of it is obviously making a good living for your family. But I think that it is important for you to give back to your community, whatever that community might be.
Where'd that come from, and what's that all about?
Well, I think it comes from the values that my parents and my grandparents taught me. Wherever they were, you had to help out others.
Uh-huh. Kristen, what are you thinking?
Tell me more about your brother. Is he also a lawyer?
No, he is not a lawyer. He's what is affectionately called the black sheep of the family, but he's not really a black sheep because he's a senior executive, I'm very proud of what he's accomplished. But my grandmother, my father, my aunt, my uncle, and a number of my cousins, and my wife's grandmother were all lawyers. So it's interesting that he chose a different path, but I'm very proud of what he's accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
So what about his entrepreneurial spirit have you instilled in your life?
Well, I think that there are four levels to what an in-house lawyer can be. You have the scribe, the practitioner, the trusted advisor, and the business partner. And I think if you as a general counsel are not acting as the trusted advisor business partner, then you're really not acting in a way that is most helpful to your organization.
Mm-hmm.
And so many general counsels are much more entrepreneurial than you might think in helping to drive the business to succeed. Mm-hmm. We at Morgan Franklin have tripled in value in the 4 years that I've been there.
Mark?
You know, one question I have is, you've got a lot of lawyers in your family and you have a strong sense of obligation. Do you feel that you came to the legal profession by your own will, or was there a sense of obligation that drove you in that direction too?
Well, the joke when I was younger was I was allowed to be any kind of lawyer I wanted to be. I could be a transactional lawyer. I could be a litigator. I could choose what I wanted to be in the practice of law. But I think growing up, there were lots of legal discussions in my home growing up, which is one of the benefits of my career, that I had that background. There was a time in which I, quote, rebelled and wanted to be a surgeon, but after organic chemistry freshman year at the University of Michigan, that really was never going to happen. So I chose down a path of using hopefully legal talents.
Mm-hmm. Harry?
Well, it sounds to me that you've really kind of taken on the responsibilities and kind of picked up the slack where people needed your help. You're like the lawyer with the heart, because you're always trying to help people better themselves. Would you agree with that? And
well, it's funny that you say the word heart. So I do try to help others. There is an organization called Lawyers Have Heart, which has its 10K race on June 9th. We're going to raise about $1.2 million for the Heart Association. And I'm the chair of it this year. And it's filled, the executive leadership team is filled with general counsels and law firm lawyers. And it's a way to sort of give back to the community in pro bono, which does not adversely affect any of our companies.
So why are you spending time doing this? Why do you do that?
Well, I think it's important to give back to your community. I really do. I think that there are a lot of people that do their jobs and go home and that's all they do. But there's an important responsibility that we have as senior executives or as people, just to give to people who are less fortunate.
Uh-huh. And how's this organization going to do that?
Well, the Lawyers Have Heart, this is their 28th year. Thankfully, we've been able to raise 60% more money for the Heart Association in the last 2 years. So we're going to hit about $1.2 million this year. And there'll be 6,000 people who are running in this race. And there are a lot of sponsors, including law firms and corporations.
Huh. And you really enjoy doing this. Are you a dad?
I'm a dad.
Uh-huh. What's the similarity between being a dad and being the vice president, general counsel, and corporate secretary of Morgan Franklin? The similarity?
Well, you don't always get listened to, but...
Uh-huh.
But, no, actually, all seriousness, I think that... I think you're trying to help help people move down a path. And you may not agree with that path, but you help them achieve what goals that they
want. You're talking
achieve.
About your kids as well as the teammates at work?
I think that's correct.
Huh. So you're telling me that sometimes, what have you learned from your kids that you use at work?
Well, I've learned, I have three teenage daughters, and I grew up in a family with my brother, and I've learned that there are emotional intelligence, and there are things that are not said, which you need to watch out for. And so I think that watching the dynamics of my daughters with their friends and fake friends, which you would find with teenagers, leads to sort of a different path when you're at work and trying to observe what is really going on.
So you're telling me you've learned stuff from your daughters that you've brought to your role as Vice President, General Counsel, Corporate Secretary of Morgan Franklin?
Absolutely. Of course we're going to learn from our children.
I didn't know that. I mean, that's why I'm asking the question, but it makes sense to me. I mean, what you're talking about. What at home, who wears the pants in the family, you or your wife?
Well, I think it depends on what issue it might be, but if my wife is listening, of course, you wear the pants in the family right now.
Yeah, what have you learned from your wife you use at work every day?
I think my wife is she's brilliant, but she's also a calming influence on all of us. And I think that is an important quality to look at the big picture and not just look at the battles of the day, but think about where long term you want to go and what you want to be. It was great to meet my wife 30 years ago as a freshman at the University of Michigan, and we've been together ever since.
If your grandfathers were around, how do you think they'd feel about what you're doing nowadays?
I think that they would be proud of much of what I do, but I think they would say I could do more.
Why would they be proud?
Well, I think that they valued making sure that you had a good home, making sure that you gave back to community, making sure that you had a living, a professional living, and trying to give back to others.
I thought you were going to tell me it's because you got this fancy-dancy title with this well-known organization. I didn't expect to hear all that other stuff first.
Well, titles are just titles, and what you do with the title is what's more important.
What do you mean by that? What are you talking about?
Well, I think a lot of people have titles and use that title just for the purposes of their own self, for getting more money or more power or whatever it may be. But the question is, what are you doing to impact the organization in a positive direction? That's what's more important than what your title may or may not be.
Impact the organization and impact the community, from what I've been hearing from you. Uh-huh. What's the best part of your job?
Well, I think it's an easy thing to say people, but I think the fact Morgan Franklin is building an alternative to the Big Four, where we're really growing, we are helping out organizations through transformational issues, and it allows us to grow in an environment that isn't a giant behemoth, but it allows us to be strategic in what we do.
What's a website address for Morgan Franklin?
Sure, morganfranklin.com. That's morganfranklin.com.
Excellent. We've been speaking with Eric Rayson, Vice President, General Counsel, and Corporate Secretary of Morgan Franklin here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com. That's executiveleadersradio.com. Learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment, right after this break. We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohn. We'd like to introduce Ken Pollack, who's the Senior Vice President, General Counsel, Chief Compliance Officer, and Secretary of Agency Investment Corporation. Ken, what is Agency Investment Corp?
Agency Investment Corp is a real estate investment trust that invests in mortgage-backed securities issued by Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and other government agencies.
Give us a sense of how many dollars we're talking about.
Sure. We have about $8 billion of equity that we manage in a portfolio of about $65
billion. $8 billion. And what kind of sports were you playing 8 to 14?
I played a lot of sports. I played tennis, soccer, ice hockey.
Mm-hmm. What was your common thread on all those teams?
Well, one is I like to be a contributor on those teams. I was not the star, mm-hmm. But I was certainly somebody who understood all the rules and how the game worked.
You understood, you like to know how what the rules were and how the game worked. And didn't you make a comment in the green room earlier that you like to learn everything about everything? Is that true? And how early did that show up? And give us an example.
That happened early on. Like, so for example, with ice hockey, when I started playing, I wanted to know all the rules. I wanted to know every team that had won the Stanley Cup. I liked the Montreal Canadiens because at that time they had won the most Stanley Cups.
How's that helping? How's that wanting to know everything about everything? How's that helping you in your career as general counsel at Agency Investment Corp?
Well, just as a substantive matter, you have to know basic understanding of the law, but you also have to learn how to learn new things and experience new things and really get to the bottom of issues quickly. Mm-hmm.
Philip, what are you thinking?
You told us earlier you knew all the rules in ice hockey, so you never got penalized, correct?
I did get penalized once, but I think it was a junk call.
Mm-hmm. You were very curious also as a child. How did that affect your relationship with your coaches and with adults?
When we on the hockey bench, I was on the bench a lot. If something happened and people didn't understand the call, people would look down to me to understand what the call was going to be.
Why would they look down to you?
They knew that I had studied the rules and knew what was going on.
How's that parallel your role as general counsel in this $8 billion corporation?
My job at the company is really to understand the legal regime we work in and the various laws we're subject to.
And your teammates are looking to you like they once were on the bench. Harry, what do you got?
You had mentioned in the green room earlier that you moved from the Northeast, I believe, to somewhere in the South. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. When I was five, we moved to Nashville. Okay. Tennessee.
And from where? From
we moved from Westchester County, New York.
What was that like for you, being a five-year-old, moving to Tennessee from the region that you were from?
It was a little bit of an adventure, right? Nashville, we had bigger lots and more area to play in. Culturally, it was very different.
Very different how? I mean, how did that feel to you?
I think, over time you kind of blended into the community, but initially I felt a little bit like a fish out of the water.
So kind of like an outsider?
Yes.
Okay. How does that play in today to how you work at Agency?
Well, I, One of the things I've done throughout my career and really value working at agency is working with people with vastly different personalities and getting to know them and getting to know what makes them tick, what they need to hear, and how to make them do a better job at what they're doing.
Uh-huh. Interesting. Let's see. Kristen, what are you thinking?
Tell me a little bit about your family. Do you need brothers or sisters?
I have one sister. She's about 10 months older than I am.
So close in age. Are you guys also have a close relationship?
We do now, though. In the period from like 8 to 12, we were competitors with one another, I'd say.
And would you say that competitiveness is in your life today as a general counsel?
To some extent, but generally what you're trying to do in your company is work collegially with people and be a team builder, not somebody who's an adversary of anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true even with the counter people we're dealing with on the other side of the table.
Mm-hmm. Mark, what do you got?
Well, I'm interested in the idea that you came from a community in the Northeast and then moved down south, and you know, you felt like a bit of an outsider. Does that cause you to act as sort of more of as a mentor for a lot of people within your organization right now? Help people along with those transitions?
I do try to make sure that people feel comfortable in the work environment. It's a little bit hard from a time management perspective to make sure that you have time for everybody in the company.
Mm-hmm.
But I do make sure I walk the halls and chat with people and make sure that people feel like the company is a
community. You're more like mom or dad, Ken. You're more like your mother or father.
I think I'm more like my mother. She's very results oriented and really hardworking.
Mm-hmm. What do you bring to work for? What do you bring from dad to work every day?
He was very resilient. He went through several career changes when I was between the age of 8 and 14.
So how's resilience? Why do you need resilience in your role at this $8 billion company?
Well, you need to be pretty adaptable. Things change on a pretty quick basis in the business world, and you need to be receptive to taking a new tack or taking a different approach on matters.
Philip, what are you thinking?
When you were back to ice hockey, when you were playing ice hockey and you weren't on the bench, what position were you playing?
I was a winger.
And talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, what's the personality trait of a winger?
Really, your job is to get control of the puck and then look for an open guy to make a pass.
Yeah, so do you get all the spotlight when you're a winger?
No, you definitely don't. I've never been on a sport team where I'm the star or want to be the star. What I'm looking to do is make other people better.
And do you get all the spotlight when you're a general counsel?
No, what you're trying to do is make other people look better.
Do you really see a parallel between being a winger and being the general and the role you're playing nowadays?
It's very similar. When you're a winger, you really want to settle things down and get control. Mm-hmm. And then look for opportunities to help your teammates.
Huh, you want to settle things down and you want to help your teammates. So that's how you view your role in this $8 billion company as Senior Vice President, General Counsel, Chief Compliance Officer, and Secretary?
Absolutely. I mean, what you're trying to do is make sure that things don't become crises, that really they're managed risks.
It's fascinating to me that you're not the one looking for the spotlight. What's the website address of your organization?
It's agnc.com.
We've been speaking with Ken Pollack, Senior Vice President, General Counsel, Chief Compliance Officer, and Secretary of Agency Investment Corp. here on Executive Leaders Radio, as well as we've had the opportunity of speaking with Affie Ambrose, General Counsel, Acumen Solutions, Sonia Galando, General Counsel and Secretary, Rosetta Stone, Eric Rayson, Vice President, General Counsel, and Corporate Secretary, Morgan Franklin, again, most recently, Ken Pollack, Senior Vice President, General Counsel, Chief Compliance Officer, and Secretary of Agency Investment Corp. I'd like to thank my co-hosts, Mr. Phil Fagan, Harry Spiridis, Mark, how do you pronounce your last name, Mark?
Joachim.
Joachim, that's what it says here on the paper. And Kristen Jones from the law firm of Pulsinelli in Washington, D.C. Don't forget to visit our website. It's executiveleadersradio.com. That's executiveleadersradio.com. Thank you for joining us today, because without you, we wouldn't have a radio show. We hope we deliver to you an entertaining and an informative show. Thank you for joining us, and have a nice day. Bye-bye.
Boom. We did it. All right. Ken.